gospel. The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. John, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 12th verse. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God, our holy Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Amen. There was once this pastor who was out in his backyard with his daughter, and they had one of those really large trampolines that they both loved to play on together. And so father and daughter went onto the trampoline and just jumped and played and twirled and had fun together for what seemed like hours. Finally, after their energy was spent, the two of them just laid back on the trampoline looking up at the vastness of the deep blue sky. While they were laying there, not speaking for a while, the pastor's daughter finally said, "Dad, what are we doing here?" So pleased that his daughter would ask such an introspective question, he began to teach her, "Well, sweetheart, God created this world billions and billions of years ago through love and power and majesty. And then in all of that, God created and came down into earth as Jesus as a reflection of that love to teach humanity about love, to teach us how to care for others and for creation. And then one day when Jesus ascended up into heaven, God ordained it that we as people would be reflections of that same love and we would share that love with those around us." Then the father paused, waiting for his daughter to take all of this in, rather proud of himself for this beautiful, beautiful moment. And then his daughter spoke up and said, "No, Dad, what are we doing here? Weren't we supposed to pick up Mom from the airport an hour ago?" Happy Father's Day. It's interesting that today is Father's Day and it is also Holy Trinity Sunday. Holy Trinity Sunday may be one of my least favorite because every year I am tasked with trying to explain the Trinity. And we use these words when we talk about the Trinity, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or if you're English, Holy Ghost. I like to use Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. The Western Church for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years has used the Trinity as a way to try to explain God as best as possible. God exists as these three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or God exists as these three functions. The Father was the creator of the whole world. Jesus was that enfleshed God who came down and redeemed this world unto God's self. And the Spirit is this part of God that is still here with us, that continues to sustain us as we walk this planet. The Western world has treated the Trinity as though it was meant to best explain God, when in fact, folks, the truth is you cannot explain God. God is so great, so beyond comprehension, that to try and explain God is borderline idolatry. The person that I go to the most when I think of the Trinity is Father Richard Rohr, who I talk about a lot. And if you ever want to read someone who really captures a part of the Trinity, I think, in the most beautiful way, read him. Go on Google and just simply Google Richard Rohr and the Trinity, and troves of writings of his will come out, and it's absolutely beautiful. But he has a book out that he came out with a while ago called The Divine Dance, which hints at what Richard Rohr thinks the Trinity is all about. He says that the Western Church has overemphasized these words about the Trinity: Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. The Western Church has spent so much time trying to focus on these words and overemphasize them to the greater church that they have neglected the implications of what the Trinity is for us as people. And it is this right here. Are you ready? Pastor, master's degree in theology, giving unto thee. Here's what the Trinity is all about. God does not exist as three persons, nor three functions. But God exists as relationship. I'm going to say that again. God exists not in necessarily, but as relationship. Listen to these words in Proverbs that we just heard Lori read. And this is coming from the person of wisdom or the Spirit. Then I was beside God like a master worker, and I was daily God's delight, rejoicing before God always, rejoicing in God's inhabited world and delighting in the human race. Or think about this in the context of the very beginning of John's gospel, which we have heard time and time again. The Word, wisdom, the Spirit was with God and was God and became flesh and lived among us. The word Trinity is actually nowhere to be found in the Bible. And a Trinitarian theology didn't come about until about the 4th century, a few hundred years after the church had been in existence. Yet still, the ancients of this time, they had this belief that God was not simply one powerful being creating everything, directing God's will, but that even before life was created, before life began, that God did not just simply exist as one, but God existed as relationship. Think about how beautiful that is. Before God did anything in this whole universe, God existed as relationship. Richard Rohr continues, God is a verb more than a noun. Some Christian mystics taught that all of creation is being taken back into this flow of eternal life, almost as if we are a fourth person of the Trinity. So for us as human beings, as we come together once a year for Holy Trinity Sunday, trying to wrap our minds not only around what the Trinity is, but really who God is, which again cannot be done. To believe in the Trinity is not to believe that God exists as three persons or in three functions, but that God exists as relationship. But for us, folks, God exists in our relationships. God invites us to participate in this divine dance, this divine relationship, this part of the very nature of who God is through all of the relationships around us. And let me tell you, in a world where kids are insulating themselves more and more by technology, depression amongst youth is climbing dramatically. Because kids, while being more connected than people ever have been, are more isolated than people ever have been. In a world where kids insulate themselves, with technology. Do you ever go to a restaurant and see a table full of people and the kids all have phones or iPads or video games out? I was a server for about 2 years. It would drive me crazy. I'd have to ask them what they wanted to eat 5, 6, 7 times. In a world where men are taught to be afraid of vulnerability, where men are taught that they have to be macho, a man's man, where it's not manly to be in touch with their feelings, to express their feelings, to be intimate. In a world where women are treated as objects and not autonomous, thinking, subjective, divine beings, reflections of God's very nature. And in a world where tribalism and cliques are the things that make us feel more and more safe in this world, the Trinity is probably needed now more than ever. This idea that God exists as relationship and that we are called primarily to experience God in relationship is more needed now than I think ever before. Now that's a big implication, because that means for each of you individually, if you ask yourself, do I want to truly experience God in this world? Is that something that's important to me? It's going to happen in all of the relationships around you. It's going to happen very easily with your loved ones that you like. And we don't all like our loved ones, do we? It's going to happen with your spouses and your children and your grandchildren and your family members and your very best friends. You will experience God far more in your relationships with them than you will in any kind of a church dogma or theology. It means that you're going to experience God in strangers. I still think about our friendly homeless man who was here for a couple weeks, Merritt Mage. And I would come in here and just sit for probably an hour every day and just talk to Merritt. And I learned far more about God from him than I ever did in seminary. That was a complete stranger. He was also what our society would call the other. He was the them, the person on the other side of the line we draw in the sand, the person we are taught to fear who doesn't have humanity, the person we are taught to ignore. And that's to go and say that to experience God as well is not just in our loved ones, the people we like, the ones we can tolerate to be around, but the ones that perhaps we fear, the ones we are taught to believe that they have nothing to offer, that God could not possibly be experienced in them. And so we are called to go out to them, to see God's face in them, and to experience God through them. And that takes a lot of courage. Now, that's your individual implication, I would say. But there's something here for us as the church, too, I think. For us as the church, where people have gotten the wrong idea about who God is for a very long time and have gotten the wrong idea about who we are called to love for a very long time, it's for us to say, as Bethania Lutheran Church, we are going to be a church that proclaims through thought, through word, through action, that God is not experienced in this building, but rather by the people who fill it. That God is not experienced in our dogma and our theology, as great as it is and as much as I believe that, but in how this dogma and theology calls us to embrace and love others, the stranger, the them. And God is not present in our history or our culture. And I say that in a very Danish church. That was the very first church started by the same Danes who started Solvang. God is not in that history and that culture unless we allow that history and that culture and all of those incredible stories to point us to our ancestors, our Grundtvigian ancestors, who are compelled to go out and develop these relationships too and experience God as relationship. Our goal always should be never to explain the Trinity, but rather to be a church that simply helps people experience the Trinity. Amen. Please stand as you are able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.